Grace, mercy, and peace from the one who makes stars. The sermon text for today, for the circumcision of our Lord, is our psalm today, Psalm 8. Especially, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have fixed in their place, what is man that you remember him? The son of man that you visit him? In the name of Jesus. Amen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
One more revolution around the sun. And I don't think we all feel the same. A lot can happen in a year. A lot can happen in a week. In about 10 years, things are going to look a lot different. And it looked a lot different 10 years ago. But we have a snapshot of about 10 years ago. On July 19th, 2013, the spacecraft Cassini from NASA took a picture of Saturn and its rings. It took a picture of it 753,000 miles away from Saturn, and it captured the dark side of the planet. Into the frame, which you might remember, the dark side of Saturn sits like a huge onyx ball, dark as anything, and on the top are all the rings, and they're named E, F, and G, and they look like a vinyl record, and you can see the grooves in the rings that look like they're waiting for the needle to drop. Through Saturn's rings, in the frame, is the dark blue of space, freckled with several distant stars. Smack in the middle of the emptiness is a bright star, a bright blue one, and it's not a star, it's our home. It's Earth. It was a picture of Earth captured 898 million miles away through the nothingness of space. It's magnificent to see it in perspective. The whole concept of scale as we know it is distorted in one single frame. And we were excited about it because we knew it was coming. NASA told us it was coming. And we went wild when it came to light, when they released it. We were excited. Human ingenuity, exploration, and invention that went into the mission made us proud as a species for a day. And it humbled us against the grandeur of the celestial plane, all captured in a single shot. It's the kind of shot that makes man imagine the possibilities of our future and look again for an origin story. David, the psalmist today, he marveled too as he stepped outside in the cool night air and looked up. Not back at Earth from a distance, but on Earth looking out. And he said what? He said, Yahweh, my Lord. He doesn't see the heavenly bodies just for what they are, but he sees God above them and behind them, creating them, sculpting them, painting them. He sees God's magnificence as his creator. And all theories of relativity are confused. When's the last time that you laid down in the grass at night and just stargazed? Did you grab onto the grass because you were scared you're going to be launched off into space? You can feel the Earth moving and launching. Our world is colossal and microscopic at the same time. Our home sometimes feels like time and space don't have any relative bearing. But we have an advantage when it comes to sky marveling. Like David, we know God as much as he lets us, and we see it as the works of his fingers. We can, like David, consider our relationship with the creator of the cosmos. The best that non-believers can do when they look up at the stars is say, wow, Saturn's pretty big. Or, let's make up another origin story. And their origin stories can be fun. Although, today I don't feel very much like primordial ooze. Do you? But I did have my cup of coffee this morning. Without God, the Creator, they have the same empty destination looking out as they do looking inward. Take Hamlet. His famous soliloquy, to be or not to be, it's not so revelatory. He says, "For what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must..." Does anyone know?
Give us pause.
Give us pause. That's what he comes up with. Must give us pause. Okay? I paused, and I'm bored. David says it too. He says, "What am I?" in Psalm 8. But anyone like Shakespeare or Hamlet can do that. But David's got the better question. He asks, "What am I to you? What is man that you remember him? The son of man that you visit him?" If God is this big, this means what? I am this small. So what am I to you? You created dark matter, for Pete's sake. Black holes, magnetic fields, baryon particles, giant planets, asteroid belts, nebulas, spiral galaxies. What do you see in me then? How does David and how do we compete with those works of his fingers? So, let's figure it out. Let's go back to the Cassini spacecraft together and look at that little blue marble and zoom in. Like Google Maps, zoom in, recognize continents, recognize storm structures, zoom in, recognize the Middle East, zoom in, recognize Northern Israel, see a mountain, see an old man on the mountain, see him praying with a knife in his hand as he is about to cut himself, circumcising his flesh before the God who created him. If you want an origin story, there it is. A man who minutes ago was named Exalted Father is now named by He who names all things, Father of many nations. Abraham recreated by the Creator of all. And zoom in again a little bit more into Abraham's soul. Into his spirit. This, God says, is the true work of my fingers. What do you see in me? Abraham says. God says, I see one bound to me in obedience and faith by his flesh. David sings, "You have given him dominion over the work of your hands." Mankind has been given dominion over the works of the hands of the one who makes stars. We must take this covenant seriously. Because it's not a coincidence that God instituting the cutting of a member that's primary purpose is the creation of a new person. It's a sign for man and woman in marriage that they live in the promise of God. That he's working through them to actively restore creation, to redeem all mankind, to bring about the righteous branch of Jesse, to redeem, to resurrect. Behold, I make all things new. He made Dean Johnson new. He made Pat Bauer new. He made Abraham and Sarah new. He made their household new. He made Israel new. And the covenant itself, he can make new. And he did. When millennia later, a young woman and her husband bring their 8-day-old boy to the temple, faithfully adhering to the covenant, says at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. He was recognized in the temple for the first time as Jesus, his namesake, the Lord saves, as his flesh was cut. binding him into the same covenant. God himself was cut into the same covenant that he cut with Abraham millennia ago. This sign is not just a sign. It's an actual binding into God's promise to restore creation, to redeem all mankind. Christ was in it for real, for us. The creator of space and time can do whatever he darn well wants with it. And what did he do? He visited us for real. And sometimes, many times, it feels like he shouldn't have at all. Don't come to our house, God. It is messy down here. Let us know when you're coming and we'll clean up. The camera on Cassini from NASA didn't capture everything that day. 898 million miles away on that day, July 19th, 2013, if it could zoom in on that exact day, zoom back to the Middle East, about an hour and a half north of Baghdad, to a little town called Wahaya. The BBC reported that day a suicide bomb blast inside a Sunni mosque in central Iraq has killed at least 20 people and injured dozens more, officials say. The explosion hit the Abu Bakr al-Sadiq Mosque in the town of Wahaya, police said, wounding around 40 people. A surge of violence in recent weeks has seen a number of mosques targeted, and more than 2,500 Iraqis have died in violent attacks since April, according to UN figures released this month. Witnesses said the bomber in the latest attack had detonated his explosives as the imam was giving his sermon. Omar Mundir, who was injured in the leg, said, "I was sitting near the imam, and the mosque was full of dozens of people when a big explosion happened, and the place went completely dark." What is the Son of Man that you visit him? What do you see in us? What do you see in my heart? Because my heart is just a microcosm of what's going on in the world. I harbor anger. I secrete contempt. I spit lies. I bleed hypocrisy. Do not zoom in to me, Lord. And God says, too late. He says, I see it too. I see you're hurting, and I hurt for you, and not just sympathy. He says, you're hurting each other, I know. You're hurting yourselves, I know. But look at me. I bleed. I bleed, he says, as the priest bandages a newborn baby at the temple. I bleed, he says, as thorns bear into his skull. I bleed, he says, as the enemy and the avenger mock him on the cross, and then, in an instant, Psalm 8 bears its true promise. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Because why? Christ fulfills all that we cannot. He has visited us in the flesh and bled for us. He has bound himself to the covenant and accepted the burden. I bleed, he says, as we drink of the cup and we eat the bread. Now he shines, the long expected. Psalm 8 answers the question, what am I? By answering the question, what do you see in me? Because that's the reality. We are what he sees in us. He makes the reality in us. So, let's see what he sees. The maker of the heavens and the moon and the stars. See the immensity of the cosmos. And once more, let's zoom into the earth, that little blue marble. Zoom into the church. Zoom into the front of the congregation. And see a pastor holding a child. No more knife. Not cutting, but ready to drown him in the new covenant of love through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, no longer by the hands of men, but by the hands of God himself, as Paul says in Corinthians. The same hand that spins galaxies into motion like a top has his hands on your head. What do you see in me, God? He zooms in, and he sees the immensity of the cross. He sees his Son, in whom he is well pleased. He looks at you, and he sees one who is bound by Christ's flesh. And he sees you for who you really are. My beloved, the works of my hands, you are magnificent when seen in perspective. Recreated. If you want an origin story, here you go. And it's an origin story for the ages and just for you. And the fluctuations that we feel of time and space when life gets hard, the theories of relativity mean nothing because we are like the stars. We are fixed in place, in him, immovable, and shining fiercely. Amen.